Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're giving away $1,000. Try and do $1,000 every hour again. It's that time of year.
We're back to that guy.
We're back, baby.
Woo!
Crank it up. Trying to give away $1,000 every hour.
Change of lives.
So when we do this, Falero, now?
Right now.
All right. Time for your chance to win $1,000. It's the 560 WQAM Training Camp 12 a days. 10 days, by the way, till the Dolphins open camp.
I can't wait.
10 days. So here's your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word ladder. L-A-D-D-E-R. Text the word ladder to 72881. You know how this contest works. It's a special national text line. 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be the top of the next hour, about 3 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. We love when we get the phone call from Entercom Corporate that the winner was listening to Hockman and Crowder in Miami. Like, we like that.
I don't want to lie. Let me know. I think every contest window, we get us a winner.
We get at least two, I would say. Okay. At least two.
So it's in the pipe dream
someone
now.
Someone who's listening to this show over the next however many weeks we're going to do this every hour, someone, it might as well be you, is going to take home an extra $1,000. Oh, that's not bad for the summer. Right? Oh,
yes.
Here's $1,000. Anyone
love
say
to have
no?
1,000.
No one's going to say no.
I'm hurting, man.
So text the
we
word.
We get paid this Friday?
We got paid this Friday?
No, we got paid last Friday.
Got paid last Friday. Text the word ladder, L-A-D-D-E-R, to 72881. 72881. Do it right now. And if you don't win this time, we'll give you another code word at the top of the next hour.
People still got ladders?
We have a ladder in the house.
You have a ladder?
Yeah.
A lot
I have
of people
two.
Call yeah. folks in. I got a bunch of ladders, but I think a lot of people nowadays just call workers in. So they don't need big ladders. Why would I need to climb when I can call somebody?
We've
to
got
climb?
Two ladders as well. One big one, one littler one.
Littler?
Littler.
Okay.
That's a word.
Is it?
Yeah.
Littler?
Yeah. What would you say?
Smaller.
Littler.
I'd say smaller rolls off the tongue a little easier.
Yeah, but smaller I don't think is good to refer to a ladder. That's more like a person, don't you think?
Just height difference. I don't think it's, you know, human-oriented.
So anything with a height? No, but like a weight difference, that's smaller.
Yes.
Littler, I think, connotes it being more little.
I would defer to you because I think you've talked about this more in your life.
Don't defer to him, man.
Make that the promo.
You've
make
dealt
that
with,
the promo.
You've dealt in this realm
littler
longer.
And smaller.
Yeah. We're breaking news today.
10 days till Dolphins start practicing. That's exciting.
Tannehill's ass out there. That's what I need.
I'm going to give you some Tannehill props here in a second. I had no idea, and Falero just mentioned it in the update, I had no idea till this morning that tonight was the home run derby. I had no idea.
I wasn't going to tell y'all this. We have Will Menzel coming on next. I went to look up the Marlins record to get just get some baseball talk. And I found out about an hour ago the home run derby's tonight.
Had no idea. Now what is that? Is that the Marlins having killed any interest that I had in baseball?
Yes.
Like I know what I'm trying. I was trying to figure it out this morning when I found that out. I was like, I'm obviously looking to blame someone other than me. So I said, is that the Marlins having killed any interest in baseball for me, just the way that the Sherman Jeter era began and the jettisoning of everyone from the team, where I just kind of turned my brain off to baseball at the beginning of the season?
Yes, it's part of it, but I think more or less the pieces they got rid of, because I knew the home run derby was coming up when John Carlos was headed to 60, and I knew what was happening. So we had a vested
interest. Sure.
Yes. I don't know who has the most home runs on the Marlins.
I have no idea. JT Realmuto.
Or Derek Dietrich. I don't know. Yeah.
And you know what y'all did? Y'all just named the two names that I know. Right. And those are the only two. And that would
Justin
be my
Bour.
Guess.
Maybe Justin Bour. He was in the Home Run Derby last year. Remember, last year it was in Miami, so there was a little more interest in it.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
But I mean, we had two guys in it, though, as well.
But honestly, like, I had no idea the All-Star game was tomorrow. I didn't know the Home Run Derby was tonight. Now, this has been, my son's 14. I would say for 8-9 years, Home Run Derby has been appointment viewing for me and my son every year. We love watching it. I didn't mind Chris Berman like everyone else did. We would, you know, make whatever, nachos tonight and sit down. And I literally had no idea. And I don't know I don't know if that's just on me. Like, hey, bro, you host a sports talk show. You should be paying more attention to that. I also think that maybe MLB has changed the way All-Star. Like, did they always play the Sunday before? Like, the Marlins played yesterday.
Well, I always know the All-Star game is usually in the middle of the week, a Tuesday or Wednesday.
No, I think it's always been Home Run Derby Monday, I think, and All-Star game Tuesday.
Oh, but you're saying, like, if they, like...
But the Marlins played on Sunday. I always remember a couple days before, a couple days after. I may be making that part up as well. I don't know.
They have a couple days off after. They're back on Friday.
That I understand, yeah.
But even from that, like, if you're trying to plan around the scheduling and all... I don't know if all teams played on Sunday, but the teams that have nobody in the contest, why would you try to give them a couple extra days off? We'd have no sluggers. What do they need to rest for the Home Run Derby? You schedule the Marlins, and actually the teams that are equal or worse records than the Marlins are the Padres, the Mets, the Rangers, Kansas City, the White Sox, Detroit Tigers, and Baltimore Orioles. I would guess those teams aren't very important to Major League Baseball right now because they're 41 or less wins.
No, I would say, well, there's a couple things at play. I would say the Marlins haven't been as bad as I thought they were going to be. I thought they would play at an epically bad pace. But to have MLB All-Star Weekend upon us or All-Star Week upon us, and me or you, I know Joe Rose didn't know this morning because I saw that on the recap. That's how I learned that there was a Home Run Derby, was that Joe had no idea. So now you've got Morning Drive and Afternoon Drive on the leading sports station in Miami. Three, and I think Zach didn't know either. So four hosts from Morning and Afternoon Drive on the leading sports station in Miami, not knowing that this was All-Star break. Now, I honestly, obviously, some of that's on us, but I do think that's a little bit, representative of the state of baseball in this market.
Yes.
I don't think we're the anomalies here.
But we have no dogs in the fight, literally.
Well, JT Realmuto's in the All-Star game tomorrow.
But the home run thing, and I didn't know that. Thank you, Hawk. I didn't know we had an All-Star.
Well, you have to.
You have to throw one.
MLB rules.
I didn't know the name.
JT Realmuto could have been a starter even, to be quite honest. He wasn't, but he's not. But, like, he's having an All-Star season, but...
Would he have made it without this MLB rule? Yeah. You know, would there be a question about... That's what I'm saying. Our names that we loved got written, and we knew the plan. The plan was there. They told us the plan.
I know why I lost interest. Like, it's not a secret. I know why I lost interest. They came in. They said, you guys don't know anything about baseball, including the fans. That's the way I felt. No charm offensive. And then they said, we've got to get rid of Ozuna. We've got to get rid of Yelich. We've got to get rid of Giancarlo Stanton. Okay. What do you want me to do?
Nothing.
And that's what I've done. Nothing.
If you went to a bunch of games and saw a guy bawling, then you would inquire. Oh, this young guy got to go to the All-Star game. So you would start looking into it. They made JT Realmuto an All-Star because it's a rule.
Do we know who's leading the Marlins on home runs?
Yes, Justin Bour has 15.
All right.
So he's heading towards, can't be 30 because they always do worse the second half of the year. So he's heading towards 25. That's big time, baby. Big time.
What's JT Realmuto's stat line like? What's he batting?
So he's batting 310, 12 home runs, 45 RBIs, and 17 walks.
Why would you give me walks?
Why not?
Well, just out of all, out
I
of
would this, guess it's the next thing in line.
But it doesn't. Like, it was. Like, but the stat line, like,
what do you want to give you stolen bases? He has
no,
one.
No, I don't want any of that. I would do. You know, you did average and home runs, right? And hits, and you know, maybe
85 hits.
Maybe so. I would do OPS or something, but like walks.
You what? Understand OPS? I don't understand OPS.
Not at all.
Okay.
What's his OPS? I don't even know what it stands
OPS
for.
OPS, 0.902.
Yeah. Okay, 0.902.
All there you right, go, okay.
Best on the team.
Okay, all right. I was watching Training Day yesterday. It was on. Okay, all right. We got ourselves an old whatever OPS guy. Okay, all right.
Hope it was on cable.
It was on cable.
Real different on regular TV.
It was on cable. It's almost it. We watched Field of Dreams. Last time my wife and I turned on, I think it was Sundance Channel, but they play commercials now. And we started watching Field of Dreams. And it's a great movie. But they break in with commercials every, like, when we do the radio show, and I know we do commercials, and a lot of people think we do too many. I don't think we do very many. But we do, like, we came on the air, what, 202? It's 212. That's all. You've already got 10 minutes of content. We haven't done a commercial. I'm telling you, Field of Dreams, they were going to commercial every 5 minutes. I'm not. I. It was unwatchable. It's such a great baseball movie. Great movie, period. It was unwatchable.
Keep you on the edge of your seat.
It really didn't. It got me turning the channel.
Well, bad programming. They should bring Len in. Len will figure it out.
So is Will Manso, he's going to join us next. Maybe he can explain OPS to us?
Yes, he will.
I actually wanted to talk to him more about basketball and Melo and Hassan and Kawhi, but we can ask him about baseball. Do you think Will Manso knew that the Home Run Derby is tonight and the All-Star Game is tomorrow?
Yes, because he does a podcast with Clay Ferreira.
It's not that.
Clay
told him. I'll tell you what it is, because I used to do the top of the hour sports updates on this show, and then Ferreira took over for me. When you have to give an encapsulation of what's going on in the sports world, you're much more aware of what's going on in the sports world.
You're right.
And he's got to do news every night. So, and they have to come up with something. And so, you know, they've talked about JT Realmuto and the Home Run Derby, I'm sure. So he's going to join us in the next segment. Will Manso. Speaking of commercials. But I'm telling you, Field of Dreams did not go this long without taking a commercial break.
Why would you watch it again?
Oh, because that movie's so good.
Again? I think it's a 2 or 3 watcher.
Field of Dreams, I think it might be a top 10 movie of all time.
Yeah, but it's just so laid out and slow developing. Like it's not a watch every time it comes on movie.
Not every time it comes on, but I told you. When Kevin Costner takes that van and turns around and Terrence Mann is standing there.
I'm with you.
In front of the van. Chills.
In your eyes right now, chills. I feel that inside of me.
Chills.
Huh, to be honest, that's 10 seconds of a 2-hour movie.
When the little girl falls off the bleacher, she got a little bit of a hot dog caught in her throat. She can't breathe.
That happened to Ferreira before.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
And Doc Graham steps off the baseball diamond knowing that if he does, he will not be able to play baseball, that he will become Doc Graham instead of Moonlight Graham. Spoiler alert.
And emotion. The love took over.
But there's so many moments in that movie.
I know, so that's another 30 seconds. Now we're at 40 seconds.
No, there's so many.
We're working on 2 hours, and you gave me 40 seconds.
I'm telling you, that movie is worth a rewatch at least twice a year.
You got to be drinking, though, or something, not just fresh. Oh,
what do you want to drink during Field of Dreams?
So you can forget the boring parts.
There are no boring parts in Field of Dreams. That happens to be a well-crafted movie. I defy you to disagree.
I just did. I've never seen it, so.
You've never seen Field of Dreams?
It's like 20 minutes a good movie.
No, that's not true.
Then it's about an hour and a half of
not true.
Hully
happens
Gully.
To be, that's a movie you should watch with
that
your
the one with
dad.
The ghost?
Yeah, Ghost. Yeah. You should watch that movie with your dad.
But I don't like baseball.
No, it's not a baseball movie, though.
You put it on your Mount Rushmore of baseball movies.
It's also a baseball movie.
It's like Sandlot's not really a baseball movie.
Right.
Well, it's about baseball.
And like Die Hard. Die Hard's a Christmas movie, but it's not a Christmas movie. You know?
No.
Actually, who was the big...
Bruce Willis.
He came out and said it at the end
he
of
said
some speech.
He said that he was getting roasted over the weekend
there
for the
go.
Comedy Central roast. He said it's not a Christmas movie.
I don't think it is either.
He's trolling everyone. It's obviously a Christmas movie. All right, I want to talk about BNT services before we get to Will Manso here, because we're in hurricane season, and we had the little scare with Beryl. You had Chris waltzing up the coast there for a little bit. I probably don't need to remind you about last hurricane season when Hurricane Irma bared down on South Florida. And that's what my wife and I, we've been in our house almost 8 years, and we've always said we should get impact windows, we should get impact doors, and we never really made the leap. And then after Irma last hurricane season, we said no more of this. We are going to make the leap. We're going to get impact windows and doors for our house. And we want to be able to relax when a storm is coming, knowing that our house and our possessions, our family is protected. And it's why we called Tom and Brett at BNT Services. They came out to the house. They helped us pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors. We are so happy we did it. So happy. Sometimes at night, if I'm closing the shutters, we've got shutters, I'll just tap on the window. They're thick. They're secure. They look beautiful. We are so happy. Our value of the house has increased dramatically. And BNT, they did such a great job with everything. Maybe you've been thinking about impact windows and doors for your house. Now's the time to do it. They specialize in impact windows and doors with over 25 years of experience. Their staff will help you pick out the perfect PGT custom windows and doors that work best for you. So don't wait another day. Call my friends Brett and Tom at BNT Services, 954-233-0126. That's 954-233-0126. Or go online, bntwindowsanddoors.com.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
This like Jermaine Jackson or something?
Kenny Loggins.
This is Kenny Loggins?
Wow. I'm free.
I couldn't have been more wrong on that one. This happens to be a good song. It's from Footloose, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, that's not Jermaine Jackson.
And who knows Jermaine Jackson's songs?
There's three Jermaine Jackson songs that are very good.
And is this one of them?
Nope. This is good Kenny Loggins song. Will Manso is the sports anchor. Hold on, I want to get to the hook here. Will Manso is the sports anchor at Local 10.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Also part of the, you're talking about Will or Kenny Loggins?
No, this guy. Heaven helps the kids that run the world. What is this? I don't know what's going on.
Footloose, man. Footloose.
I don't know.
You got to dance. Just dance away your problems.
Don't play this one anymore.
Dance away your problems, Crowder. Will Manso, you also see him on the Fox Sports Sun Heat broadcasts. Let's start here. This is very important, Will. Did you know tonight is the Home Run Derby and tomorrow's the All-Star Game?
I did, but I'm a baseball nerd. So I kind of been following it and following who's starting and all that stuff.
I literally, neither did Crowder. We had no idea. I learned it during Falero's sports update at 2 o'clock. But I think, like, you know, as I was saying earlier in the show, I'm trying to find blame in me not knowing this elsewhere than myself. And I have blamed the Marlins that they've sucked the baseball life out of me. Not that they've been as bad as I thought they were going to be. But I think just the way this entire season transpired, it sucked the baseball life out of me.
I mean, you got to think, most towns that are excited about baseball, it's because they have a bunch of star players, or they're in the hunt, or there's excitement. I mean, obviously in this town, no one's going to start jumping up for joy like, hey, we're in a rebuild. This is great. Like, you're either, you know, optimistic that it's going to be okay, or pessimistic it's never going to get fixed. But it's not like you're sitting there looking at every box score, worried who's coming to town. By the way, guys, if you guys look at the Home Run Derby list, I mean, even as a diehard baseball fan, I had to kind of do double takes at who some of these guys are.
Yeah, why is Stanton and Judge not participating?
My understanding with Judge, I didn't hear anything about Stanton. My understanding with Judge is that he didn't want to harm the team. He wants to concentrate on the team in the second half, and he doesn't want to go through this whole, you know, guys make an excuse that they get tired from a Home Run Derby, and it could affect them in the second half. I don't know if I buy that, but that was his answer.
I guess the favorite, I was looking at the odds earlier, Bryce Harper is the the favorite in tonight's home run derby.
Yeah, him and Freddie Freeman are about the only two that I think people look at and say, oh, I know that guy. I mean, there's some other guys that are good sluggers, but they're certainly not household names. So it's definitely lacking star power tonight.
And Will, I'm glad you brought up lack of star power, because baseball's struggling right now anyway, and now you're going to do what NBA's doing and take your top players out of the All-Star game or out of the home run derby. Isn't that a bad decision?
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't force a guy, and I get it. I get these guys want to use their break, and especially if you're going to play in the game anyways. But I don't know. To me, the sport more than ever, and I can sit here and tell you I love baseball so much, but I understand when people tell me it's boring and I don't know anyone and I don't follow anything. And again, in this town, we're kind of burned because of all the things that have happened. But just nationally, I mean, there's not really that star, that face. When you think of the NFL and you think of especially the NBA, you think of the players, the stars. I don't know how well baseball markets the stars, the few that they have, because I just don't think most towns and most people outside of, the diehard communities like St. Louis and Boston, Chicago, really know their players.
All that being said, I will say, on the Marlins' behalf, they haven't been as epically bad as I thought they were going to be. Would you agree?
Well, I mean, I think two things have happened. They haven't been historically bad, like I think some people thought they might be, and I never bought into that because I think they kept enough good guys around, like Realmuto and Castro and Justin Bour. But I think the most important thing, guys, in this first half of the season, look, a lot of the guys that are playing well for them to succeed this year aren't going to be around the long-term plans. I mean, Brian Anderson's the one exception. Maybe Bour, even though I'm not sure what the plans are long-term. But I think the best thing that happened to the Marlins is that their veterans are playing well. I mean, Derek Dietrich's hitting around 300. Starlin Castro's hitting around 300. Realmuto's having an all-star season. Those are the tradable assets. Brad Ziegler turned everything around. He's been like a very valuable reliever. They're going to be able to move, maybe not Realmuto now, but all those guys I just mentioned, and get some young pieces. If those guys would have stunk and come in here and pouted and not played well, and this team was 25 under, then all of a sudden they're not assets. So I think the best thing that's happened is that some of these guys are playing really well.
Will Manso from Local 10 is with us. All right, so on Local 10, obviously you guys will give a little love to All-Star game tomorrow because JT Realmuto's in it and whatnot. But what are you guys covering? We're 10 days away from the Dolphins. That's got to be, I guess, on the radar, right? And are we waiting on Dwayne Wade's decision, Carmelo Anthony's final decision? Like, what are we doing?
All right, so two parts. Number one is what we're doing today is just moving the calendars and saying, gosh, football, just get here already. Not more days. Because we are, you get to this point of the offseason, it's like, come on, get here already. But we'll talk Oscar, obviously. But I think, I think the number one thing we're waiting for is Dwayne Wade. I don't know about you guys, but I have been a firm believer all along, and I think we talked about it early in the offseason, that Dwayne's coming back. I really think that he kind of reinvented himself, saw that he could still be a key contributor. And if anything, that he saw that, hey, man, he's their best player. He was their best player down the stretch and in the playoffs. I've said all along I think he's coming back. But I don't know about you guys, but the more time passes that he doesn't come back, and if the Heat don't make moves, it worries me that maybe he really is thinking, hey, I kind of like this life. I've done a lot in the NBA. Why do I need to come back? Now, I still think he's coming back, but I wish he would just come back already and we could move on.
Is he doing the Heat a disservice by not – I don't know if they've really had conversations or not where he said, I'll do it on my timetable, but I am coming back or I'm not coming back. But is he doing a disservice if there's been no communication?
I don't think so, because I think that he understand, a couple things. Unlike, the previous debacle that happened when he left and all the kind of the confusion that there was and then the anger and the resentment, there's none of that going on now. If Dwayne Wade really decides he wants to retire, the Heat are going to say, hey, congrats to the greatest player in franchise history. They're going to send out a million tributes to him, and it's going to be a big deal that they respect. And they also, guys, understand they have so many players that play the two and that play that position and that logjam that Riley talked about. From a basketball perspective, Dwayne not coming back, it's not like you have a huge void to fill from a position perspective. They got Deion Waiters, Tyler Johnson, all these guys. From a team perspective, though, it's a huge void to fill as far as the face of the franchise. So I don't think so, guys. I don't think it's like he's, oh, man, he screwed the Heat over, he's not coming back. They've got guys that will play instead of him. It would just be so much nicer to have him, though, for a lot of reasons.
And, Will, we heard about Melo a little bit of Kawhi, Ellington re-signed, and now we're getting Waiters back. But is it troubling at all with the lack of activity the Heat were in this offseason in this free agent market?
you know, part of me says the answer I've been trying to give everyone is like, hey, be patient. It's a long off season. A lot of teams are standing kind of still because they're trying to figure out what to do. No one can compete with the Warriors. So do you position yourself for the cap space in 2 years? Do you try to make a little bit at least to improve yourself this year? I think the Heat are in that rut of 25 teams that just don't know what to do and don't have a partner to do it with as far as making any kind of lateral move. Hey, I'll give you my disgruntled player for your guy. I'll give you my guy that maybe has a bad contract for your guy. Like, where do you move draft picks? So I guess to answer your question, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating, I think. It's natural because Pat Riley stood up there and he said, hey, we've got a logjam. We've got to figure this out. We've got too many good to great players. And I think we all agree it's more too many good players. So how do we fix it? How do we improve? And there aren't really any answers. Again, it's not a Heat problem, though. I think 25, 26 teams in the NBA are having the same exact discussion. I do think, guys, I really still think that something will give. It may not be Kawhi Leonard coming or Jimmy Butler or some crazy move like that, but I think there's got to be something out there that Pat Riley and Andy are exploring and that they can somehow pull the trigger to fix that logjam a little bit before the season starts.
What about Melo? You mentioned, Jimmy Butler. I mean, what about Melo? I think he would be a good acquisition for the Heat. My personal opinion is that they lack, you know, a true, tried and true scorer. And I think if he goes to Houston, which it looks like he's leaning towards, but I think that kind of just replicates what he just failed at in OKC.
I agree. You know, from a personal perspective, just looking at it from the outside looking in, I think Melo would be a great fit. And I know some people may roll their eyes and be like, oh, you got a guy who chucks it up 20 times a game and doesn't play defense. I get it. I understand that there are things about his game that are annoying and frustrating. But there's two parts to it, guys. Number one is, you know, I want to see how Melo fits in the Heat culture, gets in good shape, maybe has a show me year where he says, hey, I want one more big year when the money opens up again in the next couple of years, one more big contract. Maybe that can get him motivated to have a big year. And number two, guys, let's be honest. I mean, if Dwayne doesn't come back and if they don't get Melo, where is the star power and excitement, that selling point, that guy you put on the billboard? You know, to me, a Wade-Melo combination outside of the teams that could win it all, which is what, the Warriors and maybe a couple teams that could compete, the Heat would be one of the more exciting teams to have two future Hall of Famers, two stars of the last decade, together and playing night in and night out. You go to the arena going, hey, who's going to have the big night? Is this the night I see Melo score 35 or Wade has a flashback game where he scores 35? I think that kind of stuff, to me, if you're going to have a season where you're not going to win it all and you can't compete with a team like Golden State, why not have some fun and make it exciting? And I think that would be.
Well, let me change the topic to soccer with the decision deferred till this Wednesday to a vote on, I call it Beckham World. What's your opinion on it? Like, do you think it helped that they deferred it? It hurt that they deferred it? And then does you think it'll go through? Do you think they're going to make this happen?
I think it absolutely hurt the Moss group that they deferred. I think he thought, and, you know, in our conversations I had with him last week, and I think he spoke to a lot of media the last week, he has a plan he really believes in and a vision. And I think he thought his message was just get it to a vote. Let us get it to November on the ballot. I think that with holding it back and deferring to this week, all it means, guys, you know how it is in business. If you don't get a deal now, that means there's issues. That means you got to resolve those issues. That means concessions have to be made. And what is Moss willing to concede financially, whether it be the whole minimum wage thing, the wage issue, whether it be how much money goes to the city, whether it be how much the rent is? I mean, there's a lot of things that were concerns over the Moss to figure out and show the commission say, okay, put it on the ballot. So, I still think it goes through. I think somehow they'll figure it out, but I don't think it was his advantage. I think he wanted to kind of get the slam dunk, get it done the other day, and obviously it didn't go to plan.
Will Manso, sports director at Local 10. 10 days till the Dolphins break camp. You excited? That's we got to do this, Will.
That's it. Wait, don't rookies like show up Friday?
Yeah, I think this is the first time that they're doing that, right?
Yeah, rookies show up Friday, so it'll give us something. We can talk some rookies this weekend.
All right, well, slowly but surely. Before you know it, Will, we're going to be in the heart of football season.
Is that a good thing around here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this year, Will?
Woo! I'm thinking about the Hurricanes. What are you talking about,
Crowder? I'm talking about the Dolphins. Tannehill coming back, getting back to 2016. We rolling, Will.
All right, if you say so.
I love it. I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know about that. See you, Will. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Will Manso there from Local 10.
I don't like your energy on the Dolphins.
I
don't like your energy.
I'm an eternal optimist, but I'm trying to be a little bit of a realist when it comes to the Fins this season.
Well, I'm a realist about these Buicks, because that damn Buick Encore right now is amazing. The entire line of 2018 Buicks are awesome. The Encore, the LaCrosse, the Enclave, the Regal, the Envision, guys, you got to check them out. I've been talking about Buicks now for a couple months, 2-3 months, and my cousin went and got an Encore. Brought it over a couple weeks ago. It's amazing. I knew it'd be beautiful because it's a Buick. The technology's going to be there, and the technology's there for your comfort, but I was surprised by the way it performed. All-wheel drive, start and stop technology, direct fuel injection, and all the storage space you need. That Buick is a compact SUV. It's sleek, it's athletic looking, and it performs that way. You got the best of both worlds. You got performance, and you got storage space. Along with the 4G Wi-Fi and Apple CarPlay, Sirius XM, the technology for your comfort, you are set to go, and then you got to worry about your family. Like me, I have a kid. I have two kids and a wife. I'm worried about safety when I buy a vehicle. And all the Buicks, they got 5-star safety ratings. The Encore has front collision alert, blind spot alert, lane departure warning. This is all for those other drivers. You might be a great driver, but people around you aren't. And the Encore tells you, hey, it's some idiot behind you about to hit you. You got to slide over a little bit. Everything you need for that peace of mind on the road. Go check out the entire line of Buicks. Get down to one of your South Florida Buick GMC dealers right now, and you got to test drive that Encore.
Radio.com.
BetOnline.ag. That's a sports book. They did the first season props for this NFL season. I'm not down on the Miami Dolphins, as you suggested in the last segment, but I am being a realist going into this season. I'm normally not. I am pie in the sky, 16-0 guy. And once training camp starts, too, I may be that guy again. But I am honestly trying to be a realist when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. I'm not alone in that this season, just based on over-unders on wins, playoff probabilities that we've talked about.
Somebody said Coach Gase was the third coach on the
second coach. I mean, there's a lot of national anticipation of a very lackluster Miami Dolphins season. Anything could happen, obviously. Yeah. We know that.
Nobody thought the Jaguars would do what they did last year.
Yep.
That, and I know, with my opinion, that's what I'm saying. A team that struggled last year had a quarterback that's now doing reality TV shows, cussing his wife out. He was our starter. And why would we bounce back to a double-digit win season? I'm with you. But I believe they can. I still trust Gase, and I think Tannehill will get back to where he was 2 years ago.
BetOnline.ag. Here are the props when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill, over-under on passing yards. You want to guess?
3,700.
3,800.
3,750, right in the middle.
Yeah. Over.
I would probably go over on that because I think they're going to be playing from behind most games.
Don't be giggling with that opinion.
I think when you're down 20, you gotta throw the ball.
But to be honest, think about it.
Defense gets loose, you rack up some yards.
Frank Gore and Kenyon, we're going to have to throw the ball. And honestly, Adam Gase doesn't like to run the ball. You have to make him run the ball. Yes, if Tannehill gets back to where he was 2016, it's there already. So my thought would be, yes, he's up around 4,000 this season.
Over-under on touchdown passes for Ryan Tannehill.
14.
Really? No, 19.
24.5.
Hmm.
Well, you would go under, obviously, based on what you thought the
number
was.
14?
Maybe a little higher than that, but I don't know about 24.
I mean, I wouldn't go over, but I think 24 is
high.
Really low.
Over-under
on 19. I would say around 19 then, if 24
what's
it, is
what's
over.
His career average? Take a look at his career. It has to be around 20, 21,
it's
right?
It's not 24. I can guarantee that. It's lower than 24.
He has 106 touchdowns in his career. So that's 6 seasons.
Less than 20.
How many in his biggest season throwing touchdowns?
27.
27 was his most?
What year was that?
2014. And then the years before and after that season, he had 24.
So he is at around 24 every season.
I still go under.
Interceptions, over-under on interceptions?
12?
14?
12 and a half.
Yeah. Over.
He's got to throw the ball.
He has, that's what I'm thinking. For him to get to 4,000 and to get 24, he has to let the ball go. And 2-1, 2-to-1 ratio, he hasn't been that guy for his whole career. He didn't have 2-to-1 ratio touchdowns, interceptions. So his interceptions will be a little more than half of his touchdowns.
The only other player props that betonline.ag did for the Miami Dolphins were Devontae Parker. You want to guess receiving yards?
I saw something this weekend, and I don't know if the guy was doing drugs, but he said Devontae Parker was his breakout star of the NFL.
Boy, I mean, I would get that 2 years ago. Like, I get it. I've seen enough there where I go, And it's the same thing I do with Tannehill. It's like, after what's Devontae going into his fourth season? Like, after you've seen three seasons, like
I'll be honest with my angle of the player angle too, with what they question in him, you don't fix. Getting prepared for a season.
Right.
You don't fix knowing how to prepare your body and knowing how to stay healthy and knowing how to really be a professional. All that's packed into Devontae Parker, if you think about it, it's people saying he does not know how to be a professional. He doesn't know how to take care of his body. He doesn't know how to prepare. He doesn't do the due diligence and the work to be great. When I hear all those narratives about a player, I'll take the under on whatever numbers you say right now because I don't think he's the breakout star we thought he would be.
Do you have Devontae Parker's stats up there, Falero? What are his normal receiving yards for a season?
His first year had around 500. Second year, he had around 750. And his third year, 670.
You want to guess what it is?
700.
750.
750 yards.
I'll go under still.
And total touchdowns for Devontae Parker. That's the only other prop.
He had 3, 4, and 1.
I was going to say 3.
3.5 is where
it's
set.
I'll go over on that. Because we saw when Kenny Stills' contract was up or they were questioning Kenny Stills to bring him back, Kenny went and had 9 touchdowns. And then last year, Jarvis went out and had 9. Adam Gase will put Devontae Parker in a situation to make touchdowns, but I don't think it's going to be big yards
or
catches.
If he likes them. Like, if he wants him to succeed,
he
you
will.
Can put someone. But does he – you know what I mean? Like, is it, like to me, you have to decide. Like, I think Adam Gase wanted Kenny Stills to succeed.
Yep.
I think Adam Gase wanted to get Jarvis Landry. I think he wanted to change the narrative on Jarvis last season so it would get him more touchdown passes. I don't know if he feels that way about Devontae Parker.
If Devontae's healthy. Oh, you know what? Just my whole narrative. If Adam Gase sees Devontae doing what it really takes to be a professional, then Adam Gase comes around.
I'll reward you.
And rewards him. I'm with you on that. If Devontae goes over all these numbers, if he gets these overs, that means that he's shown Adam Gase he's doing everything to sacrifice for his career. And I don't think Devontae's doing everything he can to sacrifice to be a great player, to be a good player. Whatever his ceiling is, I don't think Devontae's there because of his work ethic and his approach to the game.
Bill Barnwell from ESPN. ESPN.com, they did their rankings of best and worst offensive arsenals in the NFL. And what he writes is, and you can see this at ESPN.com, if you had to list the reasons why the Eagles went from last place in the NFC East to Super Bowl champions in about 12 months, weapons wouldn't be far from the top. General manager Howie Roseman went out last year and transformed what Carson Wentz was working with by adding LeGarrette Blount, Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith. Corey Clement worked his way into the rotation as a replacement for Darren Sproles. Goes on and on and on. Now he says, these rankings are attempting to consider a team's skill position talent without including the impact of the quarterback, offensive line, or scheme. And he writes, let me repeat that again. These rankings are attempting to consider a team's skill position talent without including the impact of the quarterback, offensive line, or scheme. It's not possible to totally extricate one from the other, but this is based on that theorem. These rankings don't include contract value, so it has nothing to do with what you're paying. I'm solely considering how these players will perform in 2018. Long-term value beyond this upcoming season doesn't matter. The arsenals are weighted more towards receivers. All you have to do is take a look at contracts and see how the league values wideouts versus tight ends and running backs.
Dolphins, bottom three.
You want to guess who the bottom is going from 32 up, the worst offensive arsenal, according to ESPN, in the NFL.
Colts down there?
No.
Because T.Y.'s in it, but I can't think of too many other impact players with them.
Maybe the Bills?
The Jets. Jets are the worst.
Oh, Robbie Anderson is best receiver, right?
That's what it says. Former undrafted free agent wide receiver Robbie Anderson leads the way, but the secondary targets are low-ceiling veterans such as Jermaine Kearse and Terrell Pryor. They did get Clive Walford. Oh, and they picked Chris Herndon.
They got 17 tight ends. You can't do nothing with all that.
Number 31. So the only team that's better. There's only one team worse than this team, and it's the Jets.
31's the Dolphins.
The Miami Dolphins.
You know what? As we sit here today, I cannot argue that.
He writes, no team falls further in this year's rankings, as everything that looked promising for Miami in 2017 either didn't work out or didn't come back. Running back Jay Ajayi is gone, replaced by 35-year-old Frank Gore, who has nearly 15,000 carries on his back. Jarvis Landry has been swapped out for Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson, who have combined for two 100-yard games in the past two seasons. Tight end Julius Thomas whispered through a 388-yard, three-touchdown season. He has been replaced in the lineup by second-rounder Mike Gesicki, a combination of round and position that has yet to produce even a 700-yard rookie season once. Kenny Stills was less efficient in a larger role, while Devontae Parker spent his presumed breakout season struggling with an ankle injury. The most exciting player left might be halfback Kenyon Drake, who could be squeezed by Gore and rookie fourth-rounder Kalen Ballage.
Bunch of question marks. I'll tell you this. If we're still the 31st ranked team after the season, there's people getting fired.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
You brought in a bunch of question marks. And I think the question marks would be positive, but if they're negative, if Albert Wilson doesn't work out, if Danny Amendola, if them combined get 50, 60 catches, Mike Gesicki doesn't show out with his damn 40-inch vertical and 4.44 he runs.
Essentially, if they whiff on everything.
Somebody's getting – if we're 31st, if you don't gain respect – because I would say nobody has respect. To be honest, Frank Gore has OG respect, where everybody's coming to Frank Gore before the game and give him dap and hug him.
Arian Foster had OG respect.
But no coordinator's telling the other team, you have to stop Frank Gore to beat the Dolphins. He's literally the second-string running back. Kenyon Drake's going to start. If these are still question marks at the end of the season, I don't know if it's Gase. It might be Gase, but Tannenbaum, Greer, people are leaving if these questions aren't answered. It has to be because I'm with you. It's a lot of – my whole narrative about the Dolphins, offense, honestly, the whole team, there are so many question marks that have to end positive than negative for this season to be what I believe it can be because I still believe in Gase. And I said it last time and got cussed out on the text machine. I'm going to say it again. Stop cussing me out. I really do believe in Adam Gase.
So according to ESPN, 32nd, the worst offensive squad in the NFL is the Jets. 31st is the Miami Dolphins. You'd be surprised at number 30, Falero.
Yeah, I read the article.
It's your Dallas Cowboys.
I don't get that one.
Receiving core.
And maybe they got a little bit exposed last season that they weren't as dynamic as we thought the season before.
Falero, you get rid of Dez. Who's your guy? Who's the guy?
Allen Hurns, baby.
Hey, Lero, you get rid of Dez. Who's your guy?
Terrence Williams, baby.
29, by the way, is the Buffalo Bills. So the four worst offensive squads in the NFL, three out of the bottom four come from the AFC East. It's shocking, a shocking testament to the New England Patriots.
What explains that?
That they're all playing from behind. So everyone in the AFC East is playing from behind, and they're always trying to tweak stuff to catch New England, and that's easier said than done.
Because that is crazy. That it's just like the best team plays with three of the worst teams.
Patsies. And they've got the Patriots have, six wins on their schedule
guaranteed
before they start, although we always end up splitting with them. We'll talk more about this when we come back.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.